I want to go in a maybe a little different direction this morning. It's been on my mind a lot in the last number of months, and I have been questioning myself. There's a lot of celebrity Christianity today. Big names, powerful names, mega churches, all this hype and awful lot of lights and fog machines and, you know, all the glitz and glamour that go along with it. And, you know, I'm not going to be critical of it. I do, however, truly believe that if you go to the lifestyle and the pattern of Jesus, you find a little bit different style. And what is Christianity all about? So I want to just kind of maybe open that door for us this morning. It's a bit practical. You'll find, the more you get to know me, I don't have anything real exciting or unusual or particularly dynamic. It's all fairly basic, and this is probably along that line. Most mornings when I leave our house, I drive past a fascinating place. It's a place that I've come to love, and it's very hard for me to pass without going there. It's called Krispy Kreme Donuts. I can tell by your laugh that some of you are acquainted with it. You've been there. And I don't know what there is about it, but I get close, and some way or another, the car just veers in that direction. And they've got the one that's near us, they have a sign that it's in neon lettering, so you can see it a ways off, and it says, "Now serving." And when that light is on, you know that the donuts are hot. They've just come right off the line. So I like to go past it when I see that neon sign, "Now serving," on, because when I pick up that donut, oh my goodness, it just melts in my mouth. It's warm. The glaze is still just, it hasn't even hardened yet. I'm making myself hungry already, but the last time I was in there, I'm attracted because of the donuts, but that sign grabbed me that morning. And something said to me, "Rex, are you now serving?" Not donuts. But are you serving others around you? And I've been thinking about that because I'm not real sure that people are turned on by celebrity Christianity. There's a major worldwide mega church that in the last few months lost its pastor in New York City. He was kind of a glitz and glamour sort of guy. Pastored, at least had influence over some of the stars. But he's off on the sideline today. He's out of ministry because his lifestyle was anything but Christian. And I've thought to myself, God help me, God help us. I want to have validity in all that I do. I want there to be true authenticity. And a part of that is how well I'm serving. So I want you to go to John, St. John's Gospel, chapter 13. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And beginning at verse 1, let me read just a little bit of this chapter for you this morning. And I don't want to take up a lot of time, but on the other hand, since some of you haven't read your devotions in a while, maybe this will help you. John 13, verse 1, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. I want you to maybe underline that phrase. He now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand." "No," said Simon, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." I love Simon's answer. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So two things in this passage that just kind of stand out to me. One is, He showed them the full extent of his love. Now he has been teaching them. He has been performing miracles. They have been following him. But on this occasion, he shows them the full extent of his love. And then, in the last phrase that we read there, he's really saying, follow my lead. I've shown you. I've washed your feet today. But if you want to truly be followers of me, now that you know these things, you need to do them. That seems simple enough, but there's a lot of power in those two phrases. So let's talk a little bit about serving this morning. I'm just going to give you three very simple thoughts. Number one, in order to be like Jesus, I must serve others. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I need to be a servant. I need to serve others. And we read how Jesus girded himself with a towel. He takes off his outer clothing. He wraps a towel around him. And he begins to serve them. He gets on his hands and knees. He gets low. He humbles himself. And he starts to serve others around him. Let me ask you this. How well are you and I doing with our service? There's something interesting that can happen in the progression of our Christian walk. A few years ago, I celebrated my 50th anniversary of knowing the Lord. I thought, this is going to be a jubilee year. I'm going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to celebrate 50 years. It's marvelous. And it was. It was a great time. But during my devotions that year, the Lord seemed to indicate to me that he had some more lessons, or he wanted to remind me of some things. And one of the things that he opened up to me in those early morning hours was, do I still have the same fervency and the same enthusiasm and the same willingness to do anything in the kingdom of God that I had in those beginning days? You see, it's kind of normal human behavior. We start in a job. Very often it's at the bottom level. It's kind of doing the mundane tasks. And that's all right. We're just glad. Man, we're glad to do it. I mean, nothing's too lowly. Hey, we've got a job. And now we're happy, and and I'll do whatever. But as time goes by, and you gain a little seniority, and you kind of become familiar with the setting, and you start to think, you know, I probably deserve to have a little higher position. I probably, I've been around a little bit, and I think I might need to be elevated. I need a promotion. And very often that can happen. I recall when I first came to know the Lord, He came into my heart. Man, I volunteered for every job there was around the church. I janitored. I cleaned toilet bowls. I mopped floors. I was just thrilled to get to do whatever. Some of you may remember those days. It didn't matter what it was. If the pastor said, hey, we've got the lawn needs to be mowed, or leaves need to be picked up, or trash needs to be taken out, I'll do it. Sure, I'm glad. Woo! Hallelujah! But then, you know, after 3 or 4 or 5 years, and you think, wow, I've been around a little bit, and they've got an opening on the board this year. Maybe I've sort of paid my dues here. And I should be a candidate for that. And on my 50th anniversary of knowing the Lord said to me, do you still have the same enthusiasm that you had back then? Are you still willing to do those kind of jobs? You're still willing to get down on your hands and knees? You're still willing to get out there and whatever it takes to do it? And you know, while I was thinking about that, I was reminded of some of the beds I've slept in around the world. LaWanda and I had just bought one of these sleep-by-number beds, or whatever they are, you know. These where you punch the button and it, you know, or you punch another button and it kind of raises you up. Man, I love that. That's wonderful. Woo! But I thought about when I was in Burundi, Africa, and slept on straw. And I remember thinking, I've been doing this a long time. I think I deserve a little bit better than straw. Or when I was in the Philippines, and good grief, I thought, I'm an American. I'm over here to preach for a conference, and they're putting me on this? Don't they understand? And those thoughts began to flow into my mind, and I'm thinking, would you have felt that when you first got saved? When the Lord first found you, would you have? No, nothing would have been to you. You were just glad to do it. Are you still glad? I'm asking about our service this morning. Because in order to be like Jesus, I must serve others. When He's on His hands and knees with a towel wrapped around Him, and He's washing those feet, what kind of feet do you think they were? gnarly, dirty. Those people were uneducated, provincial, small-minded. And here is Jesus himself washing their feet. Calluses. Toenails. Been through the sand and the dirt and the mud. Yeah. But if I'm going to be like Jesus, I must serve others. Second thing, in order to truly serve others, I must humble myself. Not a lot of place for celebrity Christianity in there, is there? I don't quite see it in that passage. I don't really see all the glitz and glamour of modern so-called Christianity in humbling myself and serving the lowest of the low. No. And yet, if I'm going to be like him, that's my privilege. That's my opportunity. You're wanting me to rush on. Third thing, true servanthood begins with those closest to me. You see, most of us can make a pretty good impression on people that we don't know. But I've lived with a gal 54 years now. We've been married that long. I know. I don't look that old. But so what about my servanthood to her? How easily is she impressed with all my... No. And yet, my servanthood begins with those who are the closest to me. Who know my warts and bumps and knots. Yeah. So I'm simply asking you a very practical question this morning. Taylor County Camp Christians, where are we in the serving business? Jesus said, I'm going to show you the full extent of my love. And now that I've washed your feet, what should you do? Ah. And when you go to Ephesians chapter 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving just as in Christ God forgave you. So is that a part of my servanthood? Kind, compassionate to one another. Loving you despite all of the things that I may or may not like. And yet I love you. And I'm kind and compassionate. I've been to the Philippine Islands many times. LaWanda and I kind of have a pattern. After you head to from the United States to Asia, you cross the international date line, you lose a day, and your system gets all messed up. So one of the things that we began doing a good long while ago in going to Asia, particularly like the Philippines, we fly into Manila. And we found a hotel there where we stay for a day and kind of decompress and rest before we begin whatever it is that we're going to do over there. This particular hotel is owned by Filipinos, and Filipinos mainly stay there. It's not one of the big name international chains. It's clean, it's very nice, nothing super fancy, but it's been a good place for us just to rest. First time we were there, the bellhop who took our luggage and took it up to the room, he was very kind, very helpful, and he wheels the cart up to the room, unlocks the door, and before we could ever get in the room, he's in there, and he's checking everything. He's checking the lights. He's checking the air conditioning. He's making sure that everything is okay and in place, and Just, wow. I mean, super guy. And so I hand him a nice tip. And about an hour later, he calls on the telephone. And he said, "Sir, do you have any laundry that you need? Do you have anything that needs cleaning or pressing? I'll be more than happy to take it for you and get it done." And I said, "You know, I do have a pair of trousers that need to be cleaned." Zap! Within just a few moments, he was there knocking at the door. He took the trousers, and that was in the afternoon. Next morning, bright and early, knocks at the door, hands me those trousers, and he said, "By the way, do you need anything? You need any medicines?" He said, "We have a pharmacy down the street. I'll be more than happy." And my wife said, "You know what? We need some aspirin." Bam! He's gone. Few moments, he's back with the aspirin. I hand him a nice tip. And, you know, I did with the trousers as well. And he's just, anything that we need. I love the guy. I got acquainted with him. His name is Sanjay. Next time we're there, the cab rolls up to the front of the hotel. I happened to spy Sanjay in there. He saw us when we got out. Bam! He's right there. He's got all the luggage. He's got it in the cart. He's running. He's up to the room. He's in there checking everything, making sure it's all right. I hand him a nice tip. He's just going, going, going. And same thing all over again. Every time we're there, Sanjay is just going over and above. And I said, LaWanda, this is the nicest guy. He's the sharpest guy I think I've ever seen. She said, well, he ought to be because you tip him way over and above. Okay, well, whatever. So we start to leave. Sanjay comes up, loads up all the stuff, gets it down to the lobby. Oh my goodness. I didn't have any cash. I said, Sanjay, you have been so gracious to us. You have been so kind. But I don't have any money. I am so sorry. Now, he's a little bitty guy. He came up to about here on me. He wheeled around. By this time, he's learned my name. He looked right up in my eyes. And he said, Mr. Rex, I want to tell you something. I don't do what I do for you for tips. He said, thank you for every time you've tipped me. But, he said, I have come to love you, sir. And I am so thankful to be able to serve you in any way. And he said, I know what you do. You've told me before. You're a minister for the Christian religion. And he said, I'm a Muslim. But he said, I love serving you. And by the way, sir, do you have any more Bibles? I said, Sanjay, would you mind if I took one of those suitcases? Because in there is a Bible and I'd be more than happy for you to have it. And I dug around and found a Bible. And when I gave it to him, you would have thought it was the greatest prize in all the world. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, how are you doing with your serving? So that the world may know me. I'm simply asking this morning. It's real easy for all of us to kind of get insular, to kind of get pretty, we've got our lives all planned out. We know exactly what we want to do. We have our little set of friends. We've got everything. And if somebody doesn't look like us, smell like us, think like us, look like us, it's kind of easy to hold them off. And we have the one or two or three people that we know well, and we're happy to be with them. But how about my service? to others. I just close with this. I don't want to be too personal, but my wife, LaWanda, wanted to be here at this camp. She was unable to, but she is totally opposite of me. I tend to be rather slow, pretty methodical. She's a type A. Gung-ho. She was a cheerleader in high school. She's all out there. Going, going, going. To be frank with you, I think there is something to the adage that opposites attract, because I don't know how in the world we ever got together. She's on the go night and day. I go to bed early. I'm no fun. But anyway, so we were coming back from Africa not too long ago. The second longest flight of all the air routes in the world is a trip from Johannesburg, South Africa, to Atlanta, Georgia, 17 and a half hours. Now, I don't like flying much anyway, but you put me on a plane for 17 and a half hours. We landed in Atlanta, and when you're coming back from an international trip, you have to go through customs. It's a hassle. I am zapped. I am so tired, I can't even. Frustrated. Then you have to go through all of this process of customs. And then you have to go through the TSA, and you know, it's a mess. So here we are. We're in a line that stretched almost from the Atlanta airport to Florida. It's just horrible. In front of us is a little Muslim woman. She is veiled from head to toe. She has a little slit right here. That's all you can see of her. And she has about a 2-year-old toddler and 2 newborn twins. The toddler is a mess. He was like me, tired, frustrated, jumping all over, unruly. And she's got her hands full with these little babies. And so we get to the place where you have to take all your luggage. Everything has to be checked. And LaWanda steps up and says to her, "Let me take your little child and I will hold him while you do this." And so the woman is trying desperately. She's a little edgy at first to let a total strange individual take her child. But she's got her hands full and she's trying desperately to get her luggage through there. And LaWanda kneels down and she's got a little toddler over here. And she's trying to put a pacifier and even takes a bottle to one of those little twins. And she's helping that woman move along. And we get through the line. And LaWanda takes that baby and holds him. And she turns back at me and she said, I don't know how long this will take, but you go on and do whatever you have to do. And I'm thinking, honey, we've got all this stuff here. We've been on a 17 and a half hour flight. We are both so tired. She said, don't worry about it. She takes that baby. And she takes those little twins and she edges them right on through this whole process. And I'm standing there thinking, why in the world are you doing this? What is wrong with you? I mean, why? This makes no sense. And besides all that, she's a Muslim and you can't even see anything but the eyeballs. Didn't matter to her. She's down on her hands and knees helping. And she gets her all the way through. And I saw something I've never seen before. She gets those babies back in that two-person stroller and she finally hands that little toddler back to her mother. And before she can get her into her mother's arms, that little lady reached out and grabbed my wife and hugged her and wept and said, I have never had anything happen like this before. And by that time, my frustration had settled a little bit because I was incredulous just looking at this scene. And she said to that woman, I'll be glad to help you to the gate. And I thought, what? We've got to go the other direction. And she looked at me and said, honey, don't worry about it. It's okay. The little mother said, I think I can make it from here. So we got our stuff and we're headed out. And the TSA agent who was standing there watching all of this said, I thought, oh no, we're in trouble. I don't know what the problem is. He said, lady, I've been doing this a lot of years. And he said, we do not encourage this kind of behavior. And I thought, uh-oh. He said, but what I've seen today, I want to thank you because you went way out of your way. And he said, you've changed my own life. Because if you're willing to help somebody that doesn't look like you, and that you don't even know, that speaks volumes to me. I'm simply asking, how are we doing with our service this morning? You okay? You still think you can go on in your little box? kind of do your thing. Don't worry about anybody else besides all that. You don't know who they are anyway. You don't want to be frustrated. Besides all that, you're on a time schedule. Well, if you're thinking that way, that was me. As I looked at that scene that day, God spoke to my heart. And when we sat down at the gate where we were to be waiting for our plane going west, I said, LaWanda, I've got to tell you something. I said, I owe you a huge apology. I wasn't very happy with you today, but you were God's servant. And you performed something for someone that you have never met before, did not know, and probably will never see again. But you became Jesus Christ to that person today. How you doing? Jesus said, I want to show you the full extent of my love. And if you really want to be like me, then I want you to do what I've done. So I simply say to us, Taylor County, maybe you could find somebody. Maybe God will open just the right door, just like He did in that customs line that day. Maybe there will be a Sanjay who will look you in the eye and say, I don't do what I do for money. I love you. Maybe you too can be His servant. Pretty practical this morning. But I'm asking God to zero in on you and you and you and me. Because I want to be like Jesus. And the next time I see the Krispy Kreme donut sign that said, Now Serving, I will remember that I not only like Krispy Kreme donuts, but I'll remember that I need to be finding somebody that I can serve today. Father,